The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 48. Allow me to read the words of God. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Amen. City Lights is one of Charlie Chaplin's signature movies. It was a silent movie made in 1931, and the plot goes like this. Charlie Chaplin takes on the role of the poor tramp who, while roaming in the streets, meets a blind flower girl who takes care of her grandmother. He feels sympathy for her and buys her flowers with all of his last coins. The flower girl regards Chaplin as a kind and wealthy person and is grateful for his acts. She hears the engine sound of a rich man's car when Chaplin had bought flowers from her, and so she misunderstands that the car is Chaplin's. That night, Chaplin rescues a drunken man who was about to commit suicide and is invited to the man's house. He turns out to be a millionaire. Two of them become friends, and the millionaire offers to give a Rolls-Royce car to Chaplin. But whenever the millionaire is sober, he becomes a totally different person and does not remember Chaplin. Chaplin does not want to disappoint the flower girl, so he pretends that he is a millionaire. And he visits her frequently to bring groceries and reads her newspapers. One day, he reads in the newspaper that a doctor in Vienna cured a person with visual impairment, and also a letter that the flower girl and her grandmother will be evicted for failing to pay the rent. In the conversation between the flower girl and the grandmother, these subtitles appear. The grandmother has not seen Chaplin yet. The flower girl says, "And then he brought me home in his car." Grandmother says, "He must be wealthy." And the flower girl says, "Yes, but he's much more than that." Chaplin was roaming in the streets when he met the drunken millionaire again, and he receives a grand sum of money, which he gives the flower girl for rent and her surgery. However, he himself had been arrested for theft and was imprisoned from January to autumn. So when he was released, he roamed the streets in even shabbier clothing. One day, he saw a beautiful woman in front of a flower store. The lady was the flower girl. She had recovered her sight and now was in charge of a flower shop. Chaplin and her eyes met, but she did not recognize him and thought he was just a tramp. Chaplin could not reveal his identity either. The flower girl thinking that he was a regular tramp, offered to give him a coin. But he refused her coin and turned around. However, she was insistent to offer him the coin. As she held his hand to give him the coin, she had an odd feeling and recognized that she was the one who had helped her. She asked, "You?" The moment of sadness exuding from the smile on Chaplin's face and tears that are about to burst, despite the joyfulness, is one of the best scenes in the history of film. When the flower girl holds his hand, the outward appearance of the hand was a tramp's hand, but in fact, that hand had opened her eyes. Moreover, that hand had held her up when she was going through hard times. To someone else, just another tramp and a flower girl were holding hands, but to the flower girl, their hands were warm hands, those of empathy and mutual understanding. Today's scripture also depicts hands that express deep grace and mutual understanding. Jesus had met a man who had demons in the country of the Gerasenes. He had worn no clothes and resided among the tombs. He was not loved by anyone, and he could not love anyone. But Jesus healed the man. After he was healed, the man begged to be with Jesus, who had restored him entirely, but Jesus told him to return home and declare how much God had done for him. Since the man had been restored on a spiritual and personal dimension, Jesus wanted him to also restore relationships with his family members and other people so that his social dimension would be restored as well. Later, Jesus returned to the west side of Lake Galilee. Then a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, fell at Jesus' feet, imploring him to come to his house to heal his only daughter who was dying. Jesus followed the man to his house when a woman came forward and touched the fringe of Jesus' garment. Today's passage is structured like a sandwich, in which the story of the woman touching Jesus' garment is placed within the story of curing the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue. We will look more closely into the healing of Jairus' daughter next time. Today's passage introduces a woman who was faced with much difficulties despite all of her efforts to survive. She is poorer than the flower girl in the city lights, and she did not even have a grandmother to live together. Verse 43. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. Hemophilia is a genetic disorder that causes bleeding. For women, the condition prevents blood from clotting in the uterus, so they experience prolonged bleeding. If this condition continues, they suffer from anemia, heavy breathing, hair loss, and lethargy. The physical condition itself is tiring for someone with the bleeding disorder. But at the time, the disorder was regarded as God's punishment. Thus, women were isolated until they were entirely cured. So this disorder was a heavy burden, which resulted in physical pain and social isolation. But this woman had suffered from hemophilia for 12 years. When the Bible describes the divine number, it uses 7 or 12. The number of heaven is 3, and the number of earth is 4. The sum of two numbers is 7, and the product is 12. The fact that there were 12 Israelite tribes and 12 disciples of Jesus indicates that they are sufficient in number. Moreover, the number 144,000 in Revelations is 12 times 12 times 1,000. So the number is not just trying to emphasize the absolute number itself, but to indicate that there will be a great number of people. The 12 years that woman had to suffer is not only describing the physical number of years, but also indicating that she had gone through intense period of pain. The Gospel of Mark describes her situation in more detail in chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. She had met many doctors to cure her condition, but what she faced was even more suffering. As a result, everything she had was spent as fees for doctors and the medicine, and all she had left was her body, which was getting worse. We can picture the disappointment, frustration, and despair she had to go through. If all she heard from each doctor she visited is, "There's nothing that works, even though we tried everything," she probably cried away her night. If she heard about a competent doctor, she went no matter the distance. And yet, if the doctor shook his head and said, "I've never seen something like this," all you can do is wait. How much more despair would she have felt? As 12 years passed by, her body probably was left with traces of treatment. This woman heard about Jesus. She probably heard about how he cured a man with leprosy, a paralyzed man, the servant of a centurion, and the son of the widow of Nain. While Jesus was on the way to the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus' home, the woman came to her. Verse 44, she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. The woman came up behind Jesus and touched his garment. The fact that the woman did not go in front of him but came behind him indicates that she is ashamed and has to hide something. Jews at the time thought that it is unclean to be in contact with a woman who has a discharge beyond her period, and a woman's unclean discharge was regarded as the sign of sin. Consequently, her family or her friends could not be near her, and other villagers probably stayed away from her as well. Moreover, she probably could not worship God at the synagogue during each festival. Neither could she attend the synagogue at each Sabbath to listen to the words of God. the disorder was also one of the legitimate reasons for divorce. So if she had been married, she would have been abandoned by her husband. Since she had been exposed to all of that prejudice, she probably could not approach Jesus in confidence either. Despite the prejudice, she could not give up meeting Jesus. The news about Jesus was like the beam of light, the last hope. With all her heart and soul, she touched the cloak of Jesus, and she could instantly feel that hemophilia, which had been torturing her for the last 12 years, was gone. The moment she felt that bleeding had stopped, Jesus says in verse 45, "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." Jesus asked, "Who was it that touched me?" Then Peter, since he himself had not touched Jesus, thought somebody in the crowd had been pushed towards Jesus. So Peter thought Jesus was asking who had touched him. So Peter said, "No, someone did not touch you on purpose, but was just pushed against you because of the large crowd." However, Jesus was not asking because someone had touched him, but because he had shared a personal communion with someone. Let's look at verse 46. But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone off from me." Jesus said that there is someone who was not pushed towards him, but someone who touched him with intention and faith. The Greek word haptomai means to touch with hands. This word is derived from the verb hapto, which means to secure safely and to hold each other. With these meanings in mind, the passage can be reread like this. Jesus says, "Who intentionally touched my cloak?" Peter says, "Jesus, someone did not touch on purpose, but just ran into you because of the large crowd." Jesus says, "Not the person who was pushed towards me, but who is the one that came with intention and faith to firmly hold on to my cloak?" To Jesus' question, the woman's response is described in verse 47. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Finally, the woman knew that she could not hide that she had touched Jesus. So trembling, she came out and fell down before Jesus. She could not help but tremble and fall down before Jesus because, according to Jewish regulations, a person who came in contact with hemophilia was considered unclean. So she may have thought that she just was angry that he had become unclean because of her, or other people in the crowd may throw stones at her who should have been in isolation due to her condition. Jesus says to her in verse 48, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." When she was suffering from hemophilia, people thought she had not been healed because she was a sinner in God's eyes. So they thought she could not be near them. However, Jesus called her as his daughter with deep affection. In other words, she had been accepted into God's family. Eusebius of Caesarea, a church historian who lived in 3rd and 4th century, says that she returned home to her village and placed the ceremonial stone in front of her house. And she told everyone about Jesus, explaining that he healed her bleeding condition. On the way to the home of the ruler of synagogue, Jairus, there were not only disciples, but also many people, to the extent that bodies were being pushed against one another. When Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" disciples answered, "The crowd is surrounding you, so anyone could have touched you." According to this exchange, there seems to have been many people who touched Jesus' body and his cloak. But it was special to feel that among so many people, there was a particular person who touched him. There were many people who touched Jesus' body and clothing, but the woman suffering from bleeding disorder was the only person who experienced Jesus' power. It was just like how the flower girl in City Lights recognized the tramp's hand as the hand that had offered her kindness and opened her eyes, unlike hands of all other people. After Sunday worship services, the preacher shakes hands of all the church members who attend the service in the third floor of the basement. We are encouraging one another to live the new week as faithful children of God with the grace we received during the worship service. The preacher shakes hands of hundreds of church members after each service ends, from first to fourth service. It takes only a second or two to shake each member's hand. It may look as if all handshakes are alike, but some feel different. The most common sentiment I feel while shaking hands is thank you for delivering the words of God today. After delivering the message at the Sunday worship service and at Bible study sessions, I'm truly grateful to be serving as a preacher, despite my shortcomings and faults. But I also frequently encounter regrets and frustration. I am frustrated that if I had prepared more and better, it would have been a channel of even more grace. At that moment, when the elderly members hold my hand tightly, it feels like just this encouragement. It feels as if Jesus is holding my hands through their hands. Today's message tells us an important lesson that thanks to the hemophilia that made the woman suffer for 12 years, isolated her from her family and other people, and the condition that even made her spend away all she owned, she met Jesus on a deeper level. If she did not have that disorder, She would have regarded Jesus as one of many prophets when she heard about Jesus. However, due to her condition, she was able to meet Jesus of eternal life and live in the grace of God. The motto of our church this year is, I will plant with all my heart and soul, according to Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 41. The woman in today's passage was able to experience how the Lord plants her with all his heart and soul, regardless of her despair and frustration. In that light, any failure, pain, or shortcoming that Christians experience is the divine blessing to experience the Lord who plants with all his heart and soul, and eventually to hold the hand of the Lord. The Bible is full of stories about how people who meet the Lord who plants with all his heart and soul, despite how difficult their lives were, and then their lives become renewed after meeting the Lord. Abraham had received God's promise that he will be made into a great nation, but Sarah and he did not have a child even when he was 99 years old. Childlessness was considered as rejection from God. But God planted Abraham with all his heart and soul, and Abraham was blessed to live as the channel of blessing while holding on to the hands of the Lord. David had his life in ruin due to what happened with Bathsheba. His child sexually assaulted his other child. His child killed his other child. His child ensued a coup d'etat against him, so he had to run away on bare feet. But God planted him with all his heart and soul, so David lived a life by holding onto the hand of God, calling God as his shepherd, and confessing that he will live in the house of God forever. Peter was a fisherman, representative of the poor and uneducated at the time. In today's expression, he was the epitome of huksuja, the lowest class of the modern society. But the Lord planted him with all his heart and soul, so he held the hand of Jesus and became the disciple among disciples. Saul, who became Paul, was full of hateful thoughts and feelings towards Jesus. So he thought it was fair to imprison and even kill all of his believers. God planted Paul, who was headed towards Damascus with such ferocity, with all of Lord's heart and soul. So Paul, who was obsessed with the Mosaic Law, was held onto the hand of the Lord and became a channel of God to rewrite the history of the early church. How does your life look like? Are you in despair, faced with a problem you cannot solve, no matter how much you try? Like the woman who has spent all of her inheritance to cure her bleeding condition for 12 years? Are you wondering whether God has forsaken you like Abraham and Sarah, who are barren? Are you disappointed that God is not in charge of your life? Like David, does God seem distant to you because your relationships with family members and other people are broken and destroyed? Like Peter, are you sighing without hope, thinking that you are unable to escape this poor and deplorable condition. Like Saul, are you thinking that you cannot be around Christians and the Lord, and are rather thinking about giving up on faith? No matter how our lives look like, no matter our circumstances, let's hold on tight to the Lord. Then we will meet our Lord, who is holding on to us and giving us divine blessings. Then we will realize that where we stand is the flower garden that God had planted with all his heart and soul, no matter how barren it seems. Let us pray. Father God, we realize the blessing of God to give hope and a new life to a woman who has suffered immense pain, even though she has spent all of her inheritance and thought she does not have any chance anymore. Even when we want to give up in a situation that seems unsolvable, help us to hold on to you. When it seems as though God has rejected us or does not care about our lives, may we hold on to you. When our lives seem unfruitful and insignificant, may we cling to the Lord, who is our strength. Even when the Lord and Christians disappoint us, may we hold on to the Lord, who is still smiling at us. Even if our lives are unfruitful and rather full of wounds and shortcomings, may we hold on to the Lord where we are. And may those places become flower gardens through the Lord who plants with all his heart and soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.